In a faraway forest, there's a dark, deep well. Near the well, there is grass that is called Sleep Well. In the night to the well comes a big black owl, and he puts some grass into a big black bowl. And he pours in some water from the dark, deep well and prepares a drug with a nice, sweet smell. And he flies to the children and he gives them a drink. And they get very sleepy and begin to wink. If you ask me, my darling, you'll go to the owl and I'll tell it, Black Owly, be a nice, kind fowl. Give me, please, for my baby, from your drug just a sip. And my baby will drink it and will sleep.
Sleep.
That was 100 things. 100 things.
Mm.
100 things or 100 ways.
Well, I wanted
or
a lot of those
stones.
That's like those dreams.
100 items.
You have a dream where you acquire wonderful things and then you wake up, there's nothing there.
The dream I had that was the most disappointing, that I was awake and not asleep. I dreamed that I was, when I was a child, that I was driving down a road in a like a woody station wagon.
Yeah, I saw one today.
And the sun, I had my I wasn't driving. I was in the back seat on the driver's side, and I was leaning my head against the wood panel, and the window was open, and the sun was warm against my ear. Mm. You know, and it felt just like paradise. I had no worries. And I woke up, and there was that brief moment where I suddenly realized that it was a dream and that I was awake back into gravity, and I just felt very low and very sad, you know?
Every time that I look in the mirror, all these lines in my face getting clearer. The past is gone, it went by like dust to dawn. Isn't that the way? My life's in books, written pages. Live and learn from fools and from sages. You know it's true.
What time is it? It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Why am I awake?
Bigfoot again. The tapping outside.
Play taps for it and go back to sleep. You should be dreaming.
Take Oblomov pills and sleep, sleep, restful, peaceful sleep of reason. No need for ills with Oblomov pills.
Take an Oblomov and float off to sleep, like the TV says.
Not a pill to kill. I must kill.
You're ill. Take a whole bottle of Oblomov and spare the world your disease.
I must kill Bigfoot.
Shoot some sheep and go back to sleep.
Replace that drab, boring waking life with fascinating dream life and never have to lift a foot. With Oblomov, just inches from consciousness.
I dreamt Bigfoot, too. Or maybe it wasn't
a yard?
Oh, it's my favorite show, Answer or Die.
What was the name of the chief of the Lakota people massacred at Wounded Knee?
Bigfoot.
Ouch, my knee!
Which human ancestor, who lived in Ethiopia 3.5 million years ago, was named after its distinctive appendage?
Littlefoot.
That's right! And for another hour of life, get those brain juices going. Judy, what is reality? Time's up.
That's my style. I want to be the host, not a contestant. Give me all the answers and the money, and ask somebody else questions.
You're nothing but a backyard Bigfoot hunter. You go out there in the mountains and look for the real Bigfoot.
That's because Bigfoot's in my mind somewhere. Maybe it's a gene I gotta find before it turns into a store.
You need a shrink.
I'm already too small.
You want bigger feet? Borrow Bozos.
Ladies and gentlemen, children, Bozos.
I'm a Bozo.
Oh, yeah, I thought you had a kind of a big nose.
You recognized it, huh?
Yeah.
You like to give it a squeeze?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on, squeeze the wheeze. Many people like to. Here.
See,
it doesn't hurt me.
No.
You know, I think we're all Bozos on this bus.
Oh. Yeah. My mother was a Bozoette at school.
No kidding. Well, you know, my ma always said, you gotta start young if you're gonna stick it out.
Well, my mother didn't talk to me much.
Now, please, everyone.
Poor kid.
Lock your wigs, let the air out of your shoes, and prepare yourselves for a period of simulated exhilaration. Everybody ready?
Excuse me, I'm
Let's
just gonna
get in sync
sink in.
For our
Don't,
light
not too far there.
The future is fun. The future is fair. They already have won. They already be there.
Hello. Hello. We're glad you made it. Welcome to the future.
Was that simulated? Who knows?
Be sure to inflate shoes before crossing the water. Remember, the rubber lines are for your convenience and protection. Thank you.
Oh, well, hey. Don't have to bump your shoes.
Oh, I don't wear them anymore. I gave them up years ago.
Oh. Well, come on. Oh, well, I must go where the Bozos go, kid.
I'll bet. So long.
Yeah, longer the better.
Honk, honk.
Well, listen, kid, I'm alone. I got the clone. Maybe we'll run into each other on the fun way, huh?
Yeah, you bet, honky. Honk, honk.
The 73rd Annual Sasquatch Symposium is now in session.
That sounds like me with a few more degrees.
What's unbelievable about Bigfoot is not its existence. There was Gigantopithecus. But that it stayed so hidden. Why no Bigfoot? Because they get in their UF and fly away or jump on their Loch Ness monsters and hide under the sea. Used to be fairies and leprechauns. Now it's X-Files.
He's lying on purpose! You know how I know how?
How?
Because he constantly says the phrase, believe me. Nobody says believe me unless they are lying. Oh, honey. I'll give you some example.
John, hold on.
John, here's some examples.
Could you give me an example?
I will give you an example. Hey, honey, I was just helping Stacy test out her perfect sleep number. Believe me. What? No, it's just a giant wooden horse. Believe me. What? Democrats in disarray? No, they have a plan. Believe me.
Okay, well, come on. John. Okay. He doesn't.
I did it in three. It's really funny three? That way.
Yeah. Look, he doesn't say believe me that often, John.
Really? He doesn't say believe
me? He doesn't.
Roll 212.
Believe me.
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 Okay, believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me, folks.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me. Believe me.
Believe me.
We need gods and devils that look like us, with cosmetic differences like tails or wings. Parental figures that have to be obviously of our species, or we'd pay no attention to their blandishments. We also need siblings like us, only hairier, to remind us of the freedom we enjoyed before we put on suits, our shoeless childhoods.
Footprints prove its existence.
Prints are a dime a dozen. Now a princess would cost you some money.
When did footprints become king?
We create the garden. Our footprints sink so deep, we can create a new world within its depth.
There's no time for extinction. Death wears no watch.
Allow other people to tell you what to do with your time. How to define that time, your understanding of it. Sasquatch asks, why should I be defined by your science, your way of knowing me?
I ain't no Bigfoot. My feet are the same size as yours. I ain't no freak.
We can detect ants from our satellites, but not Bigfoot? Big magic there, Johnson. Humans are abnormally concerned with size. Never big enough for them. To a dwarf, your own Bigfoot.
If there had been no Littlefoot, there would be no us. Bigfoot is the one that never made it. It mated with the periphery, an echo in an outer time.
Sasquatch doesn't write plays about humans, doesn't have symposiums on fighting the elusive human. It's not a sibling, not one of us, just hairy DNA. We can't talk to it, so it's an it. Language is a tool we invent to prove their itness.
There are still orangutans in zoos for our amusement. As the last ape is eaten in Africa, it's turned into ashtrays, its head into a doorstop. It'll live forever on the cover of the National Geographic's gathering dust in the basement while you watch Bedtime for Bonzo Forever. Bigfoot is an echo of our chill apeness, an ambassador from our future loneliness.
Bigfoot will be our perfect mascot in cyberspace, the virtual ape. We don't have to worry about wiping out his environment. He'll always be there.
So where do you go when you die? Disneyland? Watch the robot orang swing from the plastic trees?
Eternity is where Bigfoot lives. A time out of time. Time out.
The Sasquatch Nation today demanded that they never be seen by humans again.
Is the search for Bigfoot just entering the ape suit? The scramble for King Kong's crown?
What is all this science fiction doing on the radio? It's too confusing. Just give me some facts, numbers.
99 cents a pound? That's right. Sasquatch sandwich on today. $1. Do you believe it? We're not making it up.
There's Bigfoot. But that's impossible. When you find yourself in a story, you know you're in the wrong place. Do I kill it and create a new universe? I'll just take aim and...
Hey, man, it's got the same right to live as you do, man.
It's the better angel of my character.
You have to kill him. Curiosity is a cancer. If you don't know what exists, it's a black hole. When you don't know how things are, you can imagine anything to fill that hole. Don't let the demon of uncertainty win.
And the better devil.
Sasquatch's system of time is bigger than mine. I'll kill it. Kill the bears of larger hours.
You kill it, where do you stop? Wipe out its environment, its DNA, the planet? You make a record of it, but who will read the record? The record carved in stone will still be there after the people who disappeared. The ants who crawl in the letters on that stone will enjoy the shade, but will read nothing.
That's the loudest camera I ever heard.
It captures time itself.
Captures time? That's the dumbest thing I ever...
Hey, buddy, you want to move that foot? It's blocking the road.
I'm Hanako Hanazawa from Nippon News Paper. You are the man who was captured by Bigfoot?
No, I captured Bigfoot.
Did he keep you in cage? Did he perform experiments on you?
No, he surrendered to me that this era of ignorance should end.
Did he hunt you down?
No more, Mr. Nicefoot. Good night, Big Myth.
You're still stuck in his jail.
No, no!
Yeah, the media just makes up its own story. You're just this minute's character.
What do you want to go kill Bigfoot for? Get all that blood all over the ground. Big old bloody Bigfoot bleeding all over the nice green forest. What's the matter with you?
If you blow Bigfoot into the textbooks, what world do you then create?
Welcome back to Good Nights. We're just chatting here with Naomi Hungry, Heroin Perfume spokesmodel.
That's super spokesmodel. Heroin said they wanted me for 3 years, but that was just big.
Sorry, Naomi, this is network television. You can't say that on TV.
That's BF.
That's better.
Too many voices
in my head.
Bigfoot!
Stop it! There'll be no swearing in this house.
I promise I'll pay you back.
Don't Bigfoot me. What do you say?
Just give me the money. What do you want? My kids as collateral?
That's God.
What kind of world have I created? Instead of answers, just answering machines. The alarm clock radio steals my soul. Games just rented videos returned when I awake. Still a prisoner of chronology and technology. Only Sasquatch is free. The me that was never captured.
Oblomoff on sale today. Your dreams were never cheaper.
I dreamt my feet left my body and ran after Bigfoot.
Is that why your feet are all wet and there's moss under your toenails?
The darkening of the light. In the darkening of the light is the mountain and deliverance. The haze of orange light filling up behind its shadow, repeated, to mark the moment of the sunset by lighting the fire, by keeping still, repeated returns. He veils his light, yet still shines. At the beginning, the sun flies like a white pheasant into the shadows and seems lost. In this way, we learn to be modest, Librian, successful. There is no saying goodbye, dear friends, for you will talk about me when I have gone. What furthest is to keep going? But I am wounded in the second line, wounded in the line of duty, in my thigh, and I cannot keep going, for this is the heart of the wound. And I am limping away from the darkness hangs inside the gates, where the flies buzz in the heat. No, there is nothing that would further escape. The storm breaks and blows across the city, rain and shadows slanting in the sun. A quick change, no waiting. If you've got something to do, do it. If not, forget it. On the cusp of the equinox, a light rain over the dry fields where we are hunting. One kills 3 foxes and receives a yellow arrow. The hawk falls dead at 100 yards, and everything does seem to further for the moment. Keep moving, ahead of the danger. He who acts is free.
I woke up to find the dream still with me. I remember that I came across an anesthetized wolf in a canvas bag. I was wary of him. Carefully dragged him to the staircase in the hall and threw him quickly over the side. I heard the thunk of his body. I had tried to make him land on his head, but failed. In closing the door, I discovered that the door was a... I discovered that I was in a movie set. In a set, anyway. The Merv Griffith Show was on. Almost like a telethon. On the air for 24 hours so people could be safe together. because the wolves outside, hungry because the winter had been so severe, starving, actually, because the hungry wolves were outside. And I couldn't close the doors against them because it was a movie set. So I woke up.
Raven meets Wolf Woman. Wolf Woman wants to strike a deal. She shows up sitting off to one side. She finds good shells among the little fat rocks. She leaves no prints in the wet moss. She makes no sound in the pine needles. She is the first one to descend a staircase. Wolf Woman can see it in your eyes, wants to strike a deal. Sees to it there's halibut and abalone, follows your home, knows your name, climbs on your bed. She whistles for eagles, her father's a buffalo. You are surrounded by bears and dark green water, cold as hell. You can only go to the end of the road and back. Time to strike that deal. With the Wolf Woman ceremony, you become Raven in an oily dress coat, funny way of walking, sits like a totem on a pole. Glacier Thunder Maker watches whales' fins arc through the mirror of the dark sky. Wolf Woman grins like a dog. Pearly green northern lights between late dusk and early dawn. The night is full of ducks. Wolf Woman mounts you.
Can you tell me your story?
Last night, in my sleep, I dreamed that I was sleeping. And dreaming in that sleep that I had awakened, I fell asleep.
Back on the air again. Back on the air again.
Okay, look, various species combination limit, not more
snap
than...
Snap out of it, Crenshaw! You're having another dream! You fool. Can't you stop dreaming, Crenshaw?
Wait a minute, he just stopped dreaming me. Now what do... I haven't got a body again!
I dreamed...
This is getting ridiculous.
I dreamed I was a butterfly.
Did you?
Flap.
Are you... Well, no, wait a minute.
Flap,
this
flap,
may seem
flap.
A little strange to you, but are you sure flap. That you're... I mean, if this is a dream, aren't you a butterfly dreaming that you're a man? A butterfly just flew through here again, man.
Yeah, I know.
Every time he does that, I start worrying about stuff like that.
I watered my front lawn today, and the butterflies flew and played in the stream of water. And there were three of them, and they'd come around and play in the stream of water. And I could lift them up with the water by, you know, making it a small, thin stream. I could actually feel the force of their bodies being pushed upwards by the spray of water.
I think you're bluffing, Flatfoot.
No, it's true.
That's wonderful.
It's true.
Oh, the little butterflies.
Osman, I thought you were asleep.
Yes.
It was just him and the little butterflies, yes?
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something.
Oh, uh-huh. Seems like our traveling amigo is coming out of his coffee slumber. Switch off that Planet X loop, Manny, and give him the birds.
Here comes the birds.
Ah, yes, yes. Duck the sparrows.
Sparrows duck.
Filter the ducks.
Filter ducks.
Now punch up the forest awakens.
Oh, boy.
Ah, more orange in the sun. Focus the trees. Good, now we're ready. Now it's time for our guest to awaken. Tell him to wake up, shortstop.
Up and at him, spaceman. Up and at him, spaceman.
Landing. Look out.
At Mark, sit up. Look at the wonders of nature all around you and try to see my sleight of hand in front of your eyes.
I was dreaming. I thought I was back on Planet X.
Planet X is but a dream image of a space traveler.
People have been trying to understand dreams since there were people, but the person we most associate with the science of dreaming is probably Sigmund Freud.
Sigmund Freud!
In 1899, he wrote The Interpretation of Dreams, where he suggested that dreams were largely symbolic and allowed us to sort through the repressed wishes that piled up in our unconscious mind. And most of those wishes, you might have noticed, involve kind of weird sex stuff. Freud was, you know,
Freud.
It wasn't until the 1950s when scientists first had tools that allowed them to read the electrical activity of the brain that we began to understand what a dreaming brain was really up to. Two researchers at the University of Chicago, Eugene Asarinsky and Nathaniel Kleitman, pioneered this research by hooking people up to the newly invented EEG machine and monitoring their brain activity while they slept. What they thought they'd find was that the sleeping brain was a resting brain, but what they discovered was exactly the opposite. They found that brain activity actually fluctuates in a predictable pattern over a period of about 90 minutes. The cycle takes sleepers from an initial period of drifting off gradually into a really deep sleep with slower brain activity back into almost wake. And the state of sleep where the sleepers were almost awake again was the most interesting. Brain activity in this phase was almost identical to when people were awake. But even weird, during this stage, the subjects became functionally paralyzed. The only parts of their bodies that moved were their eyes, which darted back and forth under their eyelids. So you know this part already. Asarinsky and Kleitman called this period REM sleep, after the rapid eye movement that characterized it.
Look, everyone, at what's happening to his eyes, and the way his teeth are glowing. Willard, you're a Summa Ratrin, aren't you? A guardian of the Temple of Pure Watt.
What?
Where was secreted the sacred Orb Watem?
What am that?
Oh, roughly translated, the useless tool or tube from heaven. But perhaps they were wrong, eh, Acme?
What do you mean?
Those simple natives, none of them bigger than a ruddy English schoolboy. It could be of some use to an industrial visionary IQ. So, during the heat of the summer rat dance, you, Acme, stole it.
I didn't steal it. I stole it to save it from senseless worship.
Yes.
All that boogity-boo.
Yes, it was you hiding in the rat's eye.
They also called it paradoxical sleep, because the subjects seemed to be awake according to their brain activity, even though they were basically dead to the world. They probably figured that these names were better than sexually aroused sleep, which is another common feature of this stage. But another thing that scientists found out was that if REM sleepers were awakened, they reported having really vivid dreams that were often emotionally intense. It wasn't the only stage of sleep in which the subjects dreamed, but it was the time that they reported having the most lifelike dreams. It turns out that every 90 minutes or so, during the final stage of the sleep cycle, the brain phases into the REM sleep, and our brains start creating crazy narratives that might last between 20 and 30 minutes. This is when you have those crazy, really vibrant dreams that you can almost confuse with reality. So, why so busy, sleeping brain? And what's so important about dreaming that you have to paralyze my entire body in order to have realistic dreams? Well, there are probably several answers, but one of them is that during the periods of dreaming, our brains are making important connections between real-life experience that will help us in our waking lives. These days, researchers are finding that Freud was wrong about dreams in at least one important way. We don't dream much about our hidden desires. We mostly dream about what we did that day. When we're sleeping, our brains are sorting through what happened while we were awake, deciding which new experiences were important enough to remember and which ones should get tossed, and searching for links between seemingly unrelated events that might help us be a more successful human tomorrow. And it's actually really important that we do this while we're asleep, because our conscious waking brains are generally too controlling to allow this kind of creative problem solving. And this dream time activity helps our waking brains be better at things that require making connections and thinking outside the box. Dreams have actually been responsible for some really important inventions and discoveries in history. For instance, Dmitri Mendeleev came up with a system for the structure of the periodic table of elements in a dream after months of grueling conscious thought was getting him nowhere. And research shows that our brains are much better at solving puzzles if they're allowed to take a nap in the middle of doing one. In a study in 2004, for instance, subjects were asked to search for links between two sets of numbers. The subjects who napped solved the puzzle 60% of the time, whereas only 25% of non-nappers were able to do it. In another study, where people were asked to find connections between seemingly unrelated words, those who lapsed into REM sleep between sessions solved 40% more puzzles than those who didn't. So dreams are all about making associations and finding patterns that our waking brains have a hard time detecting. But it seems to work slightly differently in non-REM sleep than in REM sleep. During non-REM sleep, you dream, but the dreams aren't necessarily vivid, and they're often about something you've been doing or thinking about a lot. During these stages, people can report dreaming about kind of boring stuff. Like, if you spend a lot of time in the car during the day, that night you might dream about driving down a long street, stopping at a series of stoplights. This might seem lame, actually is pretty lame, but it's kind of useful to the brain in its own way. It's itself things that it already knows. Like, when you're driving a car, you're supposed to stop at stoplights. So in non-REM sleep, sleep, it's basically reinforcing existing connections. But in REM sleep, we get to test out that reinforced knowledge in a context that's virtually indistinguishable from real life. It's like our brain running simulations. So say you've been driving to your grandparents' house in Boca Raton all day, and in non-REM sleep, you spend a good 20 minutes doing boring stuff like practicing stopping at traffic lights. During REM sleep, your brain might have you trying to steer a steamroller through Manhattan from the back seat. REM dreams can be very lifelike and very stressful, but that's a part of it. A vivid REM dream is an opportunity to safely let us try something difficult. Because our brains aren't here to make friends. Our brains are here to win. The evolutionary purpose of dreaming, like the evolutionary purpose of virtually everything else we do, is to make us more successful animals tomorrow than we were yesterday. In REM sleep, the brain is actually trying to experience the future in order to test possibilities. So maybe you're making out with your 7th grade algebra teacher on Jay-Z's yacht while wearing a banana suit. What of it?
Into town kinda late one night, looked like everything was closed up tight. I've been driving hard and I needed to unwind. I spotted this joint down a lonely street. I needed a drink and maybe something to eat, so I never noticed the words upon that sign. By the next thing you know, I was flat on my back, two drinks in each hand. I was under attack from a beautiful girl who held on to me tight. I grabbed my wallet, said, man, don't fight, you paid your money, you've got all night to wrestle a new in flight. Well, I opened them wide and she sure was right. What she had on didn't keep out no light. She was nude as a proud bird, oh, wearing a cute little hat. I said, good God, honey, I got to go. There's a woman waiting who loves me so. She said, ease back, son, just don't step out that door. Well, it's a good thing I didn't, cause it would have been over. We was flying high.
Does it mean you subconsciously want to make out with your 7th grade algebra teacher? Maybe, but not necessarily. Does the banana suit have something to do with penises? I don't know. I'm not Freud. The thing is, during REM sleep, you could try that experience with no consequences whatsoever. Another benefit of REM sleep is that it helps us process emotions that our dunderheaded waking brains aren't really equipped to handle. Although the content of our dreams may be wacky, the emotions attached to them are completely real. Remember, your dreaming brain is charged with working on real-life problems, so if you feel really angry at your boyfriend in a dream, chances are you're probably pretty pissed at him, or maybe someone else you're close to in real life.
Now, I know where dream monsters come from. What is Glutamoto horror? Of Toiko besides total fiendish quality are you bring. They all you. Glutamoto dumb everything. This is not bad enough? Yes. There is also Gorgonzola the cheese monster.
The stories our dreams create are essentially attempts to give our emotions a narrative that can kind of suck the poison out of them and give them a form our brain can deal with better. In fact, there are people who can't experience REM sleep, and they often experience other psychiatric disorders. So dreams help regulate the traffic between our experiences, our emotions, and our memories, so we can dial down the crazy.
Believe me.
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 Okay, believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me, folks.
Believe.
Believe me.
Believe me. Believe me.
Believe me.
And hey, if the outcome makes your rational brain a little bit uncomfortable, well, that's just how the sausage is made, folks.
It used to be a thought that men who wished to put an end to war were idealistic dreamers, and that those who were willing to go to war were realists. Now the reverse is true. Often in the past, when the question of whether or not to go to war arose, the aim of preventing one's own people from suffering was considered a reality, and the aim of preventing another people from suffering was considered an ideal. Now, in a country such as ours, which possesses nuclear power, even if one accepts this callous view of what a reality is, it is those who call for victory who are the dreamers, and those who call for restraint who are the realists. What used to be the question was whether man could continue waging wars as they always had, or whether they would make a seemingly utopian dream of a world without war come true. Now, with the survival of man at stake, what used to be a dream has become a necessity. We can no longer emulate those who cry victory or death, because in our times, victory is death. It is profane that the first thing the American government told the American people about Cambodia was that American forces had begun to destroy it. One newspaper, limping along like everybody else to keep up with the president and the military, ran an article entitled Cambodia at a Glance, which informed its readers of such facts as that in Cambodia, most of the population is rural and farming is its major occupation, and that mineral resources are undeveloped. The title seemed to suggest that if you wanted to learn anything about Cambodia, you had better look quickly. Now on television, Americans are getting their first look at Cambodians.
There it goes.
Yeah. And the wonderful thing is, man, is that you don't know what you're looking at. I finally found out that by either turning on the television set and laughing or not watching television was the only way to be free of the two.
You know, of course, the Cambodians are different from the Vietnamese.
Well, of course.
And they don't like the Vietnamese.
They hate
you know
the
that?
Vietnamese. Yeah. Oh, told you that?
They're not those same little yellow people
the
that are on the other side of that defoliated forest.
It's
they're different
just a
little
big
yellow
ruse
people.
To get the South Vietnamese troops in there because they want to. It's a political payoff, obviously.
That's it.
I had a dream last night.
They
about
had to get
Cambodia.
Rid of Sihanouk to do it, though.
Yo, they offed him the way they offed the South Vietnamese guys they wanted to get. CIA, right.
Sure.
Or somebody is writing.
Does anybody, I mean, it amazes me that anybody can take those clowns seriously anymore. Look, I had a dream.
I
seldom dream, and I wanted to tell you this because it was about Cambodia, that is, and not my backyard, which is unusual.
Russia last night. And remember Doublethink. The only way to remember it is just to think the other things you're being told.
I'll tell you my dream of Russia.
Investigate that. You can be free.
I'll tell you my dream of Russia after you tell your dream.
Okay, I'll trade you dreams.
Okay,
my dream, and I got it when I was waking up. I've been fasting for 2 days. I haven't eaten. So my head is in an interesting place, I think, probably. But I can't tell, you know, because I don't think it's me. But then again, wait a minute. I was in Cambodia. Annalie and I were in Cambodia, and it was like a big library. On the inside, it was kind of like a communist library on the inside, where everybody was very nice and sort of sat around and played folk songs and stuff like that. Mary Michael, row the boat ashore. And we went out into the city, and... to buy things, just to like we go to Chinatown to just buy things and play with the machines in the you know the nuclear bomb attack machines and get our pictures taken on the 50-cent thing, and it was filled. We then noticed with American servicemen who had gotten out of the army and stayed in Cambodia and were growing their hair long and were indeed the people inside singing the folk songs
in the library.
That was my dream view of Cambodia. Sounds suspiciously like here.
My dream view of Russia last night, I was returning to the Soviet Union. I've been there once before in reality, I think. But maybe it wasn't me, I don't know. And I
you didn't walk there, so you're not sure.
The one thing that was strange about it was that everyone spoke perfect English. Not only perfect English, but they spoke it with American dialects. And I went into this one, I was going to eat in this cafeteria with this friend of mine, about whom I felt slightly suspicious because he was wearing a military uniform, a Soviet military uniform, but we were very good friends. And I was saying, gee, it's great to see you again. And he was saying, yeah, it's great to have you back. And, you know, and me, my wife. And we went into this cafeteria, and the cafeteria was right out of a Fellini movie about 2000 AD or 2100 AD. You know, it was very modern and white and totally antiseptic with benches. And there was no one in there. And I said, ah-ha-ha, I said,
they were
technology.
All in the library reading
right.
the books,
they were
right.
going their hair.
Right.
And I walked by this to the end, the last counter in the place where there was one woman cleaning up, and I said, hey, is it too late to eat anything? And she said, yeah. I said, no, it's all closed up now. You have to come back tomorrow. And I said, gee, you sure have a, you speak very beautiful English. And she said, oh, yeah, well, thanks. And so I walked out. I walked all the way through this building with my friend in the military uniform, sort of a blue uniform. And I said to him, I said, hey, I said, you know, that's really incredible. She probably learned to speak that way at the Leningrad School of Dialects, where I know, as a fact, they teach Brooklyn dialects and everything. Despise. See, you want to go over. And I met some of them when I was there.
Where do people just want
to learn that? Well, of course, that's what he said to me. He said, well, don't you think that's rather a harsh judgment to make on us? He said, after all, you know, I mean, that sounds like a projection on your part. Maybe she learned how to speak with that accent because she likes that accent. And I had to agree that he was right. The last part of the dream is a little muddled.
Hamburger Paradise, where people would do that.
Hamburger Paradise, did you say?
No, Heaven or Paradise, oh. Same thing, Hamburger.
Well, that was my dream. There was some more to it. But
that's a wonderful dream.
Isn't that a nice dream?
That idea, well, don't you think you're projecting a bit? I mean, just because the lady there and the guys, the truck drivers talking like this in Leningrad Square doesn't mean he's learning to be a spy.
Mick Jagger playing on the jukebox. Ducks struggling in oily water. Cars going by, loud and out of place. 55-year-old workmen know how to fix their campers, handing buckets of crap to hippies and taking buckets of crap from hippies. And me crying in a Mexican cafe because I can feel paradise so close now for everybody. I think we got most of the birds out of the south end of the bay, he says, taking off his pink anodized hard hat and wiping some sweat off his forehead right where his thinning pack of black-gray hair begins. The hippie is falling asleep over his coffee. Across the street, in front of the Sunset Beauty Salon, the sidewalk is turning gray and shifting and melting as 1,000 years pass and flowers and Indian tobacco and sage and people looking a little Chinese spring up out of the street. The beauty salon is a field now, two people making love by a brown rock. I'll cry any day for that. My vision starts in my feet and goes down, so my crying is really like rain. My tears make the years pass like a rush. My tears make the seeds grow under Sunset Boulevard. The clump of cane by the brown rock is the 1,000-year-old child of my tears, and that boy is the 1,000-year-old child of that hard hat, and that girl filled with him, her sweet self coming with a cry in the California clay, is the 1,000-year child of that hippie. And the ducks made it too. So don't despair. Learn to hold back and let it out like the Stones' guitar. The war is over. We're home. And when we all wake up, we'll all be friends. Dear friends.